play for radio by John Ash, with Robert Lang, Michael Cochran, Kieran Madden, and Pauline Letts. The Flute and the Sword.
The King, sir, coming on parade.
Yes. I always think he looks better on four legs.
And kinder to his horse than to his subjects.
Well, English Excellency, we shall have a war then.
War, Your Majesty?
For my Italian land.
Ah.
And then all that is crooked will be pulled straight.
Indeed, if so, Your Majesty, the sooner the better.
Nah!
Does that mean no or yes?
Neither. But for once his quarrel is with Austria, not us. It's as well. See there. Have we British troops like those, Captain?
Not many so tall, sir.
Yet he snatched some of those giants from Hanover. Forced recruiting for the Prussian army in his Britannic Majesty's own dominions. More trouble for us.
But not war.
You'll find the King of Prussia has always some excuse for rattling the saber. Berlin is a barrack room and the royal business conducted so. No matter, the King and I are old soldiers both. Frederick William is more prudent than people imagine, but he is afflicted by demons, a bad stomach and a bad head.
You can keep the King at peace.
Aye. Oh, it is not the British ambassador who will keep Frederick William from war. It is his own frugality. He's built up one of the best little armies in the world, and he doesn't want to get it dirty. But he's no man of peace, not in his own realm, not in his own family. You'd think him exhausted just now.
Exhausted, sir?
From beating his son.
Ah.
Someone else he wants to pull straight. Wretched boy.
Hans Cat.
Play on, I adore it.
Then you will kindly keep your hands from my breasts.
Ah, but I adore them too.
Oh, please, someone comes.
And if someone were not coming?
Doris, I thought you might not be in.
Highness.
And then I heard the harpsichord from the street, the sweetest sound in Potsdam. And Cat, my dear fellow, I'm glad you're here.
I too, sir, if my prince needs me.
Oh, you don't know how much. Sometimes I think you are my only friends in the whole of this godforsaken country. And no need to curtsy, girl. No need to curtsy to French rubbish or English swine or whatever my father's calling them now. Doris, come here.
Sir?
May I kiss you?
With pleasure.
You are kind, and I have need of kindness.
Your cheek, it's wounded.
Yes. I cannot play my flute for you today. My father broke it across my face.
Oh, good gracious.
Oh, it's nothing unusual. Oh, what are they saying in Berlin, Cat? That I am a weakling and a coward? A crown prince who cannot even stand up for his sister? For his own mother? Is that what they say?
No.
Let alone stand up for himself.
My father has never...
Your father is a man of God and a lover of music. The king is a military bigot and a beer-swilling boor. Oh, disentangle me from this confounded sword belt, would you, Cat? I must get out of this hideous coat.
Your shroud, Highness.
My shroud, yes. That remark about the sacred uniform got me another beating. At Christmas. Oh, careful. My shoulders are smarting. Thank you. Oh, that's better. Don't look so miserable, Doris. Sit. One day I will be king in Prussia. And you shall laugh again.
What excuse has his majesty?
Excuse? Does he lack for excuses? A son who reads Latin verse in secret and plays the flute? A decadent, snivelling, sneaking coward of a son. The heir to Brandenburg, Prussia, plotting with Swedes and Frenchmen against the Holy Empire. And intriguing to marry his cousin of Hanover and England. The Princess Amelia should see the wheels on my Prussian back. A pretty sight for the elegant court at St. James's.
I have brought some wine. A barsack.
Ah, cat.
By your leave, Doris.
Oh, of course, Hans. I'm sorry that my father has none.
Well, it wouldn't do for a placenta of Potsdam to keep French wine in his cellar.
No. Delicious.
A glass, Doris?
Oh, no, thank you.
Good heavens, girl, you're nearly 16, aren't you? Oh, give her some, Cat.
Well, drink up. And you fetch me another pipe. Krumkopf, come and sit by me and bring that beer jug.
With pleasure, Your Majesty.
Oh, I've had a dreadful day, Krumkopf. Gout. Headaches.
I'm sorry, sir.
And a letter from England.
From our envoy?
He seems to take pleasure in telling me the worst. He says the king laughs at me. At his own German cousin. So do all those English lords. And their painted women. The English are welcome to him, King George II. And he still thinks he could have my son for his precious daughter.
Well, he sneers at you behind your back.
Well, he can't buy Fritz with an English princess. Not even Fritz. But he can't buy Prussia with English gold. At least I've got a full treasury and a decent army. Let those decadent English sniff at that.
Your Majesty is the savior of Prussia.
I can't last long. It's all got to go to that boy.
You have done well to postpone the Crown Prince's marriage, sir. He is not ready for his own establishment here and independence. He needs firm schooling still.
He'll get it.
I hesitate to add to Your Majesty's preoccupations, but there remains the problem of Her Majesty and Her Royal Highness and their English sympathies.
My wife is a fool and my daughter a snake. I didn't sack the Council of State in order to be bossed by a female parliament. They think I have no ambition in life but to see my eldest daughter, Princess of Wales, and my eldest son prancing around Windsor Castle. I'm sick of those English marriage plans. They stink. What's the matter with you all? Stop staring and get back to your beer. Grumkopf, you'll see the Queen.
Certainly, sir.
We'll settle that problem. For good. I won't be fooled by English plots. Or traitors in my own family!
Captain Dickens?
Sir Charles.
I've been waiting to meet you. They tell me you are fresh from Berlin.
Yesterday, sir.
Oh, let us sit by the fire. I think this place is colder than my house in the country.
Compared to German buildings, the Foreign Office is a palace.
Not a popular post for diplomats, Berlin?
Notorious.
A lack of splendor?
An autocratic monarch and high taxation.
No revelry?
At court? Oh, yes. King Frederick William revels nightly with his cronies. No women, of course. Just beer and tobacco and politics.
How disgusting.
They call it the tabagi. The king prefers it to his council, so do his ministers and generals, apparently.
One way of conducting affairs. Captain Dickens, I believe you're friendly with the Crown Prince Frederick.
And the king knows.
He disapproves.
The prince is an intelligent and sensitive youth, sir. And consequently, his father treats him like a dog. But to hobnob with the secretary to the British ambassador. Lucky young Fritz.
Lucky?
The name Frederick is supposed to bring good fortune to the Hohenzollerns.
I had thought rumors of his father's treatment might be exaggerated.
No, Sir Charles. The day I left Berlin, the prince received his worst beating yet.
For what, pray?
For speaking well of Englishmen.
Not possible.
The king's envy of the House of Hanover and English wealth has grown to an obsession.
But it's no time since his children were first set to marry King George's.
Of course, there's no love lost between the royal fathers. The marriage project has become an angry game. Frederick William is convinced the English court has no respect for his person or achievements. Makes fun of him, in fact.
Who tells him this?
His own ambassador here.
Reichenbach, that simpleton.
Brigadier de Bourget believes Reichenbach's letters are written for him. In Berlin.
By whom, for heaven's sake?
Baron Grumkopf.
The king's chief minister, but why?
You know that Austria will do anything to prevent the double marriage and an Anglo-Prussian alliance.
Is Grumkopf the slave of Austria?
Not exactly. The Austrian emperor pays him well, and the baron has expensive tastes.
So that is how the king's mind is poisoned against us.
And against his own son.
This is formidable. Have you proof?
I'm on the scent. The Undersecretary here at the Foreign Office has uncovered a private correspondence between Grumkopf and Reichenbach through a German firm down in the city.
Ah, then you have the proof.
Not yet. The letters are in cipher.
Then they must be unciphered. I wonder at Dubourg's patience. These things must be fast undoing his mission in Berlin, and he is not a young man.
If I may say so, I think we were wise to send an old soldier to the Prussian court.
What, two old warriors together?
Yes. I was with the brigadier at the New Year's Day parade. The king rode by and joked with him.
With a British ambassador in public? Well, this is better news.
Not entirely. The king was proposing another war. There are Italian duchies which he claims.
He is mad.
Some say this.
I shall be interested to meet him.
You were going to Prussia, Sir Charles.
Well, why do you think I was so interested to talk with you, Captain Dickens?
Your mission, sir?
The government is determined to avoid another war in Europe. Relations with Prussia must be restored. Brigadier Dubourguet is very able, very experienced, but he
is... A new effort is needed, a new envoy.
I expect the King's commission as ambassador extraordinary to the court at Berlin.
Then, sir, you have my very good wishes.
And your valuable assistance, I trust. Much is at stake.
Yes. We should strive to make that tormented boy the friend of England.
Oh, Prince Frederick. What sort of a king will he make?
He may surprise, if he survives.
I sometimes wonder, Wilhelmina, if Fritz's friends are for the best.
He's lucky to have any with such a father as ours.
All Europe is his friend. Did he but know? But I think he's made some bad choices.
Lieutenant Katz?
For one. He does your brother much harm. Leads him into all kinds of dissipations.
Poor Fritz.
You laugh?
Why, he has few enough pleasures.
Wilhelmina, an intelligent girl like you should not confuse pleasure with license and frivolity.
You mean drinking and women?
And worse.
Well, how worse, Mother?
Worse. We will speak of something else.
Fritz will be 18 next week. He's a man.
Exactly. And Lieutenant Cat is notoriously fond of male company.
Oh, dear.
If Fritz is a man, let him behave like one.
When the king treats him like a wicked child and whips him like a dog... Oh,
do not remind me of it.
Elder son. He only sees Fritz to scream and curse at him, to beat and kick him.
Wilhelmina, you are making me ill.
Perhaps you are right. Perhaps father is mad when he does these things.
Lower your voice.
No wonder Fritz seeks friends where he can find them. In the army or at court. No young soldier ever needed comrades more. And why not Hans von Katt? He is very charming. And he is certainly attracted to ladies, if you're worried about that. He was very charming to me on one occasion.
He would not dare.
I did not say that I was attracted to him.
Oh, you and Fritz forget your position. To entertain these nobodies.
Kat is hardly a nobody.
And what about those Keith brothers?
Well, the elder is packed off to Wesel with his regiment, poor fellow.
After leading Fritz around the stews of Potsdam. Has Keith corrupted his brother too, I suppose so?
Hardly. He's one of father's pages now, anyway. He'll have to make do with beer and bad language.
Oh, what a court. Sometimes I think your father has no more appreciation of your destiny than you have. To think of all the trouble I've been to make you the finest match in Europe. The Prince of Wales, Wilhelmina, heir to your Uncle George's glory. To be Queen of England, daughter, and all Great Britain. And Fritz to have the Princess Amelia with an enormous English dowry. Oh, but your father is so blinded by hatred of the House of Hanover, he has thwarted my plans at every turn.
Mother, the matter is bigger than that, I fear.
Child. You are as stupid as your father. What matter could be bigger for us than two marriages with the royal family of England?
We are part of the empire, Mother, the Austrian Empire.
The emperor shall know that I am queen in Prussia and a princess of Hanover.
Oh, Mother, there'll be no English marriages for us now. Queen Caroline told you the truth. Uncle George wants both or neither, and father will only have mine. Even that can't be saved while Monsieur de Grumkopf has father's ear.
Grumkopf. And the king prefers this perfidious creature's advice to that of his own wife.
He'll listen to no woman, least of all his own. We're just his female parliament. The English party, as Guy Dickens says.
Dickens? Be careful to whom you speak of such matters. Your father has a sensitive nose for treason.
Treason? In his own family?
He speaks of it.
He raves.
Grumkopf has a poison tongue. And Vienna, a long arm.
Was it treason when I was courted by the King of Sweden or the King of Poland? Is that why father now talks of getting rid of me to some German bumpkin? And if I utter a word of protest, I am bullied to death? I am 21, Mother, and not a fool. How long must I hold my tongue in this military fortress of a court?
Villain. Enter. What is it?
Your Majesty, some gentlemen.
Who? Tell them to wait.
It is the Herr Baron von Grumkopf at His Majesty's orders.
Wilhelmina. Grumkopf.
I have a foreboding this concerns me.
Wait here. I will see the minister. Herr Baron.
Your Majesty.
General Bork. Count Finkenstein.
Madam.
Your Majesty.
You come from the King?
Madam, we are charged with a message of great importance.
Yes.
And a delicacy.
Yes.
The King wishes you to know that he is aware of your intrigues with the English court.
Intrigues? How dare you use such a word to the Queen?
It is His Majesty's. We only report...
Go on.
He no longer wishes to be drawn into these negotiations. However, he is determined on the marriage of the Princess Wilhelmina.
Well? Well?
He permits you to write once more, and once more only, to His Britannic Majesty, your brother, and Queen Caroline on this subject. You are to demand King George's formal agreement to our Princess's marriage to the Prince of Wales.
But I have already...
Should this formal agreement not be received in Berlin within 3 weeks...
3 weeks?
Then His Majesty will insist that the Princess marry either the Duke of Weissenfels or the Margrave of Schwedt.
An immediate answer? From the King of England? It is almost an insult. Oh, the King cannot be so harsh. You are mistaking his words.
He has signed a letter which we are also commanded to give Your Majesty. I fear it expresses his desires even more harshly.
I will read it later.
Your Majesty, for your happiness, I urge you to submit to the King's wishes. He acts of right, the right of a king and a father.
And the right of the child, Herr Baron.
When parents disagree, is it not written that the child shall obey the father, the Bible?
You are fond of the Bible, Herr Baron. And you will know what Bethuel said when Isaac demanded his daughter. We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. But the King offers a Princess of Prussia to small noblemen, to brutes and drunkards and poverty. I shall write to His Majesty, my brother, as the King requires. But I will never consent to the alternative. Never.
Madam, we are to demand your full consent to the King's terms now.
We, Baron Grumkopf? General Bork and Count Finkenstein are my friends. And the King could never be so cruel. No, Herr Baron. I know well whom to blame for this treatment.
Your Majesty does me an injustice.
I do not think so.
There is one other thing which we are commanded to tell Your Majesty. If you continue to thwart the King's wishes, he will disown the Princess Wilhelmina and consign you both to exile...
No!
Perhaps to the castle at Oranienburg.
Leave me, gentlemen.
Sir?
You like it, Cat?
Very much.
Quartz's flutes get better and better.
And your play.
Oh, you loyal creature. The doors, Cat! If a servant sees me attired like this, he'll run to the King in a panic.
Of course.
Well, what do you think of the shoes? They arrived from Paris this morning.
Yellow plush.
And the heels up an inch. I needed that inch.
Aren't the breeches dangerous? You know what Father thinks of red.
With my hair combed like this, I'd stand no chance anyway, so what of it?
Fritz, the letter.
Oh, yes. Cat, there's still a chance my sister may capture her English prince and escape from this madhouse.
I am glad, madam. And you, sir?
Well, apparently my father still regards me as something of a prize, not to be given away lightly.
Oh, he may curse me at home, but abroad I am a valuable counter.
You are more than that, sir.
Thank you. You see, Wilhelmina, never at a loss, dear cat, for the right thing to say. They would love him in France. Yes, one day we'll go there, all three of us. And Wilhelmina, you must be very witty. And Cat, you must be very charming. And I must tell them that my father so despises them that he has felons dressed as Frenchmen before he hangs them.
There's no need to excite yourself, Fritz. You'll not set foot in France while father's alive.
Won't I? Won't I? Must I wait for him to destroy me? And haven't I friends in France?
Fritz, we can't run to France. Don't you remember the last time you talked about it? The French ambassador nearly died of fright when he heard.
That was 2 years ago. I'm the one who suffered.
But Mother is right. The answer is English, not French. Marriage and a new status, not flight and ignominy.
Is it not ignominious for a man to marry to save his own skin? Am I a man at all?
A prince and a future king.
Is it not brave to be a king and ride in triumph through Persepolis? Is it not passing brave?
You will never lack courage.
Or friends.
I hope I shall never be parted from either of you. I would rather share my existence with you than with any wife. However, Cat, for her own welfare, it is essential that my sister's marriage to the Prince of Wales be advanced.
But if their British Majesties will not be satisfied...
Mother has thought of a simple device. I write to Queen Caroline and promise her that if my father will not let me marry now, nevertheless, when I do so, it shall be to her daughter Amelia and no one else. In return, their prince must be pledged to Wilhelmina at once. It is urgent to get this letter on its way, but it must be tactful to succeed. You will help me with it?
With the greatest pleasure.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Good.
Did you gauge the effect of these royal letters while you were in England, Captain Dickens?
There will be no early reply, Brigadier.
I've just come from the Queen. She is almost hysterical with anxiety.
Yes. It seems that Windsor has been awash with letters from the Prussian relations, anyway, for a 12-month or more.
Frederick William thinks King George can settle everything himself, or should. A few swipes with his scepter.
I pray for the double marriage. Grumkopf would have to sell that fine house of his, perhaps.
Oh, the king knows where Grumkopf gets his money from. But he'd rather the man were paid by the Austrian ambassador than by me. And Ambassador Zeckendorf is an old crony. Frederick William can drink them both under the table, of course. But to him, they're good enough fellows.
Good German fellows.
And Sir Charles Hootham?
We met, but they're not ready to announce his mission.
I wish him luck.
I fear he's already acquired a distaste for Prussian diplomacy. I told him of Grumkopf's letters to the King's man in London.
It'd be a useful weapon for Sir Charles when he comes to Berlin.
The plan is to obtain for him at least one of the original letters, as final proof to the King of how Grumkopf manipulates news from England.
Meanwhile, you must see what effect your copies have.
They're evidence enough. The King should see that.
He sees what he wants to. It is a failing of monarchs.
Madam, may I remind you that it is now past the time allowed, and there has been no answer from the King of England. None.
And I tell you, Baron Grumkopf, that it is completely unreasonable to expect one so soon.
Nevertheless, Your Majesty, the King will now ignore it, whenever it may come. Her Royal Highness must choose between the Duke of Weissenfels and the Margrave of Schwedt. You must choose now, or risk banishment for you and the Princess both. The King will be obeyed.
You speak to your Queen thus, reptile. Austrian purchase. I curse you. Oh, General Borg, help me.
Your Majesty?
Your Majesty, my arm. Herr Baron, you'd best take your leave.
Thank you. Thank
Herr
you,
Graf,
General.
Send for some water.
Certainly, General.
Madam, sit here.
Oh, thank you.
My mother is sick, Doris.
The poor Queen.
I am not allowed to be sick. Are you sorry for Fritz, too?
Yes. Poor Fritz.
So the Queen is ill again.
Diplomatically?
No, she is also pregnant.
We take her too for granted.
Her husband, anyway.
Oh, Feechin. Feechin. Do not die. You must get better, for the sake of the children.
Frederick.
Yes, my dear, what is it? I cannot hear you. Tell me what your old husband can do for you.
The children. Fritz. Wilhelmina.
Feechin, they are well, well. Do not fret for them.
I do.
No. Listen. I forgive them. Do you understand? I forgive them both for all their wickedness and all their disobedience.
Oh, you must tell them.
I will.
Wilhelmina.
Oh, Fritz, how good to see you again. How are you? What have you been doing?
Dodging father in Potsdam. I tell you, he can spot me across three barrack squares. There's almost nowhere I can hide.
And how is Doris Ritter?
Who?
Listen to him.
All right. She's fine. But not as fine as my beautiful sister, who is very thin. Have they been starving you, then?
You cannot imagine what it has been like. Visits from Grumkov, mother in hysterics.
How is she now?
Well, if anything, I should say worse. Father is with her.
He's in the palace. Oh, my God.
It's all right. His mood has changed. He's promised to be kind to us.
I haven't noticed it.
Mother was looking bad. I think it frightened him.
He will not be frightened for long.
Fritz! Wilhelmina!
Father, oh, my God.
Fritz! Where are you hiding?
Perhaps behind this screen. As good a place as any.
Wouldn't it be wiser to face him?
Braver, but not wiser.
Children! You are skulking somewhere up to your old tricks. Who's that? Who is there? Come out. And what do you think you are doing?
Good day, Papa.
A good day, is it? Why are you not in uniform? I'll give you a good day, you scruffy little urchin. Day! There!
No! Papa!
Hiding behind your sister's skirts, are you? Well, she won't escape either. Take that, you little swine!
No!
And you, ma'am. Your mother, upstairs, lying nearly dead, and you two playing hide-and-seek around the palace.
No, Papa.
Stop smirking at me, damn you. I'll teach you. I'll teach you.
No! No!
Oh, Frederick, what is it?
Fritz and Wilhelmina playing games with me.
Oh.
Fritz dressed like some Italian dancing master. Well, I've made him dance. I've taught those children of yours a lesson.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And now you listen to me, woman. I want that brat, Wilhelmina, married and away, do you hear? I've been too patient. You get up from your bed and you tell her, Weissenfels or Schwett. Choose immediately. Weissenfels or Schwett.
General Bork, I am so glad to see you. I am lying at death's door.
I am at your Majesty's service.
Fritz, a chair for the General.
Certainly, Mother.
Thank you, Your Royal Highness.
General Bork, you have always been a friend to us and a friend to England.
Only in the service of His Majesty.
The King is not in his right mind.
It has been very sad for me to attend Your Majesty with such unfortunate delegations from the King.
Oh, do not imagine I thought you enjoyed them. We leave such cruel pleasure to Minister Grumkopf.
Madam, the minister takes no such pleasure.
No, not when he feels my tongue. Oh, well, we will leave that. Now, General, I have had to explain to the Princess Wilhelmina that due to the obduracy of the King, her alliance with the House of Hanover may now be impossible.
It appears my English uncle thinks more of politics than of his son's happiness, or mine.
Oh, that is unjust, Wilhelmina.
It is the truth. In England, the King is not a king, and in Prussia, he is more. He is a tyrant.
Daughter.
Weissenfels or Schwett.
Would your Royal Highness ever consider Prince Frederick of Bayreuth?
But the heir to the Margravate? Oh, Wilhelmina, he's a very handsome young man. Bayreuth would be quite a prize.
But hardly a kingdom, Mother, and Father will not consider it, so what is the point?
I have taken the liberty of making some inquiries and suggesting it to His Majesty.
To which His Majesty replied, go to the devil.
To which His Majesty replied, excellent.
Wilhelmina.
I suppose the king will say anything to get rid of me.
I must confess that His Majesty also said, not a groschen of dowry.
You see?
Oh, you are ungrateful to General Bork. Compared to the Duke of Weissenfels, Prince Frederick is another matter entirely.
So you wish to be rid of me too?
Wilhelmina, don't be unreasonable.
Not you, Fritz.
We are driven beyond endurance. Take what happiness you can.
So, you are finally cowed by Father's cane.
No.
I suppose he has discovered your debts.
What debts? Fritz?
Father doesn't know? Oh, there'll be someone to carry the tale in this rotten city.
Well, Zeckendorf, what are you and Grunkov muttering about? Come on, let's hear it.
Your Majesty.
His Majesty is listening, Excellency.
The Baron and I were talking of Prince Frederick.
Fritz, I don't want to hear that name again tonight.
No, sir, we did not imagine so, and therefore we decided not to mention the matter to you.
Very sensible. My guts are playing up.
Of course, it is an affair of some gravity.
Oh. What are they doing to Gundling?
Sir, I think they're removing his breeches.
Seems to enjoy it.
Come on, Gundling.
Give him some more beer, someone.
No, sir. Zeckendorf and I thought we wouldn't trouble your Majesty with such news when you are entertaining.
And so much in need of rest and pleasure.
What news?
So unfortunate.
We can discuss anything here, drunk or sober. Out with it, Zeckendorf.
It seems that the Crown Prince is a little worried by debts. Private debts.
What? That wretch has been pledging my credit for his debauchery. By heaven, I'll have the skin off him. You'll see.
Your Majesty, if I may advise caution.
Caution? He'd better have a real lesson this time.
Sir, I have had recent information about some of the prince's plans.
Plans? What plans?
He has been talking again of...
Yes?
Of flight.
Flight? You wouldn't leave me, boy?
No. No. Of course...
You are my eldest son. The heir to Brandenburg, Prussia, an officer of the most disciplined army in the world. You'd never desert your post, become a traitor to your country, to your family, consort with the enemies of your king.
No.
Because if you ever did such a thing, I could not treat you as a father would wish to treat his son. Do you ever reflect on what I have done for this country? When your grandfather died in 1713, I found the province of Prussia almost at its last gasp. Most of the domains mortgaged, all of which I have redeemed. And the finances in such a plight that bankruptcy was imminent. A wretched little army whose shortcomings baffled description. Well, I have pulled it all straight. All of it. I do not know if my subjects love me for it, but I need the love of my family and my heir.
Yes, Father.
All this will be yours. You have only to love and obey me. You can add honor to the House of Hohenzollern. You're in debt, I hear.
In debt?
How much are these debts?
About 9,000 thalers.
9,000?
Perhaps a little more?
A lieutenant colonel with such debts, it is practically a court-martial offence. You idiot.
Don't be angry.
Never mind. Give me a list. They will be paid.
Oh. Thank you.
Fritz, your father only wants you to love him, and you will be safe. safe from foolish desires, safe from dishonor. Grumkopf!
Your Majesty.
The cabinet will make an order.
Sir?
Lending money to princes of the blood is declared a crime.
Very good.
With a severe penalty. The most severe penalty.
Wilhelmina, Brigadier de Bourgh thinks your English marriage may yet be saved.
Your Excellency, is it not obvious that your king will have none but the double marriage and my father none but mine?
Madam, even the demands of sovereigns may change.
I think you are the only optimist left in Prussia.
But also a diplomat.
In all my years at your Majesty's court, I have striven for this alliance.
You have been my good friend. A friend to all us poor women folk.
An old and feeble friend, I fear. My mission is nearly at an end. I wish it had been crowned with success.
You have done everything possible. And Captain Dickens. Oh. Grumkopf and Zeckendorf will see the death of my son.
They undermine his father's affection at every turn.
Everyone knows that Fritz is driven beyond endurance. But one day, he will be king. And there will be a reckoning.
Meanwhile, there must be nothing rash on the prince's part.
What are you thinking of?
Has he never spoken to you of flight?
Flee the country? Oh, he would never do such a thing.
My secretary is not so sure.
Fritz has spoken to Captain Dickens of this?
It would be suicide. No, murder. And we should know whom to blame.
I think the king has a whiff of this rumor. He is keeping the prince close by him.
Yes. They go this week to Saxony. Together.
What is that? Philip, what are you doing in my bedroom?
I come to bid you adieu.
Who are you?
Your lover, Princess.
Fritz! Fritz! Oh, what's that ridiculous costume?
I am a French cavalier come to offer you my sword.
Oh, Fritz! How can you play these pranks?
Perhaps I will go to Dresden like this.
Oh, I'd like to see Father's face.
Wilhelmina, I am not coming back.
Don't be absurd.
I am at the end of my tether. And don't you see, this trip to Saxony, it's a wonderful chance to escape. Glide out of Dresden, away, away and across to England.
No.
I love you so much, Wilhelmina. I had to tell you. I had to say goodbye. But you must guard this secret.
Fritz, you put yourself in terrible danger.
Calm yourself. In England, I will work out your deliverance, too. And we shall meet again in safety, free from these horrible persecutions.
Fritz, listen. The English will not welcome you. They cannot. It will be the scandal of Europe.
Do you not understand, you of all people? I am desperate.
When did you think of this?
Many times.
And whom have you spoken to? Do you think it never reached Father? Everything does. And what plan have you for your journey and against pursuit all across Europe?
What plan do I need? Only flight, only speed.
Fritz, you will be caught and taken back in fetters.
Father wouldn't dare.
You have felt his rage all these years, and you can't imagine the lengths he would go.
But I cannot waste this chance.
Fritz, please, don't talk of it. It makes me shudder.
I trust your Majesty enjoyed your visit to Dresden.
Yes, 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 Brigadier. I can't say much for the Saxon army, though.
Prussia sets a high standard.
King Augustus, of course, spends all the money on ornaments and flummery. Though I must say, Dresden is very fine, very fine. As an artist, I appreciate it. As a commander-in-chief, I take note. Well, de Bourget, what have you got to tell me?
Sir, I thought to discuss the royal marriage question.
Again? Go and talk to the Queen. I know all the tricks you English get up to with her brother, your master. But it's a dead goose, Excellency, dead. King George wants both my children or neither, and he shall have neither. I am not to be treated so. No.
But the princess...
She's going to marry Bayreuth. I've written to the Margrave. Bork's idea, not bad, not bad.
The king, my master, and his ministers feel that there are many problems facing our two countries.
which could be resolved.
Your government at last begins to recognize my claims. Prussia has become important again. No.
Sir, I understand that in my country there is growing support for the single marriage.
So?
Public opinion desires, insists, that Frederick Louis of Wales should make certain of a Protestant princess.
No one in my family shall ever be anything but a good Protestant.
And Her Royal Highness?
Wilhelmina is a good daughter and loyal to her faith.
In all the circumstances, I am more than happy to plead the cause of the single marriage.
You're a good soldier and a wise old man.
It is proposed that negotiations should be entrusted to another envoy from my country.
And your country is very stupid.
His name? Sir Charles Hootham.
Is he too a soldier?
He was, sir, a colonel in the army.
And when is he coming?
It is proposed, sir, in April.
He shall have a Prussian welcome. I will receive him at Charlottenburg.
My dear Grumkopf, everyone is talking of this Sir Hootham from England. How many more of them in Berlin? Dickens, de Bourget? I'm outnumbered 3-1. I don't like it. What is this new mission?
The king says they are agreeing to the single marriage. He is cock-a-hoop.
It's a trick, simply to gain his ear.
Perhaps.
The emperor will not be pleased.
That is your problem.
And yours, Herr Baron. You have an expensive household to keep up, have you not?
Grumkopf, Seckendorf, muttering again. What mischief now?
His Excellency was inquiring after the Crown Prince.
He is well. You saw his behavior in Dresden.
His Royal Highness is maturing slowly.
Slowly.
Not ready for marriage yet, Your Majesty.
Not yet, so cheer up.
What is he like, this Hootham?
Rather a milord anglais, but that may be for the best. He has important work here, much to offer, but not to be taken for granted.
Well, I am happy for my sister. But it seems I have been ditched.
No, sir. We have retreated a step, but I do not think you will find our diplomacy inept.
It is Grumkopf we must fight. Grumkopf turns the king against his highness, and Seckendorf makes sure that Grumkopf is in the emperor's pocket.
I'm only sorry, sir, that your English sympathies have done you so much harm here. I pray the wind will change.
English sympathies? French sympathies? What have I to lose but beer, tobacco, and foot drill? Well, I'm due on parade. No, don't get up, fellas. Enjoy the rest of that bottle.
Thank you, sir.
The way he talks, you'd never guess it, but he's a good officer, a born leader. His troops love him.
Does he realize that?
No. In any case, he's obsessed with the idea of getting away from his father, from the country.
Hans, you must stop it.
I've tried, but he's a strong head.
Oh. Listen, Hans. Things can change. There is another chance. Tell the prince that Sir Charles Hootham is bringing a bag of gunpowder for Baron Grumkopf.
Your Majesty, may I present His Excellency Sir Charles Hootham?
Welcome to Charlottenburg, Sir Charles.
Your Majesty is most kind.
Come, we have some dinner for you. Sir Charles, marriage into your fine high country will be welcome to my daughter as flowers in May. To me also, how can it be other than welcome?
Yeah, yeah.
Great heavens, Seckendorf. I never thought I'd be so merry with so many Englishmen around.
Seckendorf, de Bourget, Dickens, all of you, fill up. A toast, then.
To Wilhelmina, Princess of Wales.
Good, good.
To Wilhelmina, Princess of Wales.
Wilhelmina. They are toasting you at Charlottenburg. The men, it's all over Berlin.
What is, Mother?
Your engagement to the Prince of Wales. There is even talk again of Fritz and Amelia. Oh, my children, my children.
Oh. I went too far last night. Too far.
A very enjoyable dinner, Your Majesty, but...
Yes, yes. I even let them talk again of the double marriage.
This new ambassador is gambling high.
Let's see what he's got to offer.
But he'll not fool us, sir, will he?
If the English will support my claims in the north and southwest, and Wilhelmina will be Queen of England, what's the matter with that, then?
If we can trust them.
Man, whom can anyone trust in this blighted age? We've got to make friends and know our enemies and keep our swords bright.
But, sir, if English wealth should finance a schism in Prussia, where then does our duty lie?
Schism?
A faction supporting the Crown Prince.
Well, we shall have to watch our English friends, shan't we? And our Crown Prince. I have worked for my country every day of my life. There are some days when I'm in such pain from my belly, when my head is exploding with damnable agony. I think I shall go mad. But nobody can buy Prussia. Nobody. If my son betrays me, he shall die.
Sir Charles Hootham is waiting in the anteroom, Your Majesty.
Show him in.
Hootham, 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 does the king see no one but this extraordinary ambassador?
The king has his politics. Prussian politics, my dear Seckendorf.
Anglo-Prussian politics? They're not appreciated in Vienna, I can tell you that.
The emperor should have treated Frederick William with a little more finesse, a little more respect. I told you that.
I'm tired of your master's susceptibilities. These intrigues with the English are not wise.
Wilhelmina, Excellency. Yes, with all my heart. But Frederick married to your English princess. There is much to settle before I will agree to that. Do I have to say it again and again and again?
By all means, let us draft the documents, Majesty.
In any case, the boy is but 18. 30 is a good time for marrying.
But Your Majesty's own example...
Impertinence! Yes, all right, I was 18. And what do you think of my marriage, then?
I can assure you, sir, the Queen of Prussia is much respected in my country.
By her royal brother, perhaps?
By King George and by all his subjects.
And my son Fritz, too, I suppose. Wallowing in English respect?
It is a matter of great regret to my countrymen that His Royal Highness does not enjoy your full confidence.
He will. Make no mistake, I'll straighten him. I'll pull him straight.
3 weeks. And I'm no nearer marrying my English prince since that stupid drunken dinner at Charlottenburg.
Patience. Time is on our side at last.
Sir Charles Hootham. For all his grand manner, father will grind him to pieces.
Some Englishmen are very cunning, you will see.
I have asked the king to receive me, but I'm put off. It is an outrage. The court has become an English province.
The king's mood cannot last. I have conjured another letter from Reichenbach.
One of these days your king will discover who really writes his ambassador's dispatches from London. And then the fat will be in the fire, my dear minister.
Herr Reichenbach will inform the king that both King George II and his Prince of Wales are becoming extremely unpopular in England.
Yes, yes, that's good. I congratulate you.
Plausible. Prince has lived most of his life in Hanover. Even his father speaks little English.
You would suggest that they are unpopular because they're German?
The truth being that the most unpopular German in England is Herr Reichenbach. Mm-hmm. Queen Caroline especially detests him. He's been publicly snubbed at court.
Ah, this is valuable. The king thinks Wilhelmina will be popular in England because she's a good Protestant. And now if he thinks she will be the opposite because she is German... Oh, this is famous.
I'm glad to see Your Excellency in better humor. Oh, there is something else. Reichenbach has discovered that the Crown Prince has promised Princess Amelia that he will never marry anyone else but her.
Krumkopf, we must get the king's ear at once.
There seems to be some difficulty.
At night? This Hootham will never stoop to carousing with us at the palace.
Yes. It is some time since the king was entertained. By God, sir, I think your mug is empty.
By heaven, sir, I think you're right. Fill it up, Zeckendorf, like a good fellow. Come here, you two. I can hardly see you through this smoke. Some air! Open a window, Gundling. Or someone chuck him through it. There's obedience for you.
Your Majesty.
What is it? Don't look so sinister. Drink up, Zeckendorf.
Yes, Majesty.
His Excellency and I were wondering how things were going with...
With Husum? Ah, you see, he's a bit stuck up, but he's a canny fellow. You'll see.
And your intelligence, sir? From London?
Reichenbach. Now, I never know what to believe from him. You know, I don't think he fancies his post much. Picks up a lot of gossip, of course. Don't know who feeds him.
Feeds him, sir?
Yes. Husum thinks Reichenbach doesn't know his own mind.
Do I understand, Your Majesty?
Well, now, that's a question coming from you. Husum gave some papers to Niphausen to flutter my way. Copies, they say, of letters from you to Reichenbach. Yes. Private letters.
Impossible. Forgeries, English perfidy, ridiculous.
Yes, ridiculous, isn't it?
So, my father has had copies of Grumkopf's letters to England for over a fortnight and the gunpowder has failed to explode.
Grumkopf will say they are forgeries, of course, and it is easy to say that of a copy. That's why Sir Charles passed them indirectly to the king.
He did not want to risk losing face.
We must keep negotiations alive. There must be some trust. Or show of it.
But my father believes Grumkopf still.
He does, and he does not. Reichenbach has been officially recalled, or so Sir Charles has been told.
Oh, you diplomats. What happens when Husum goes back? The king's stick comes at me again. Oh, I had done better to leave the country long ago. Long ago.
Sir, we have another letter in the Grumkopf-Reichenbach correspondence. In reserve. A last shot.
What is one more if the others are discredited?
We took some risk. It is an original. Not in cipher and in Grumkopf's handwriting.
Your Majesty has been most gracious, and I await my master's instructions on your demands.
How long do I wait?
It is a matter of weeks only.
Ah!
Your Majesty... May I now speak of the Crown Prince?
Well?
The Princess Amelia lives in some hope.
Listen, I hate my son, and my son hates me. Yes, we are best apart. Let your king make him a stadtholder of Hanover with his princess.
Vice-regent of Hanover?
That was his suggestion.
What an amazing turnaround. Is he serious?
And the king is always serious. But when it comes to the Crown Prince, his mind takes strange paths. At one moment he would like the boy at the North Pole, next moment close by.
If only to beat him up and downstairs.
I cannot make sense in the matter of the Crown Prince.
The king is probably trying to sugar your pill. I doubt if the prince will be going to Hanover, with or without Amelia.
Sugar or not, the king's political demands are almost impossible. And he wants them guaranteed by us.
He thinks the Emperor has tricked him more than once, and will again, without our support. He wishes to bind our country to him, and confront Vienna in strength.
If that is the price of the double marriage, I for one consider it dead. I shall have to tell the Prime Minister that the King of Prussia's unsteadiness and want of resolution will hinder him from being either very useful to his friends, or very formidable to his enemies.
But the prison closes on the Prince.
You're fond of him, aren't you, Dickens?
You know that, sir.
I'm sorry for it.
Sir Charles, will you see him?
Well, there is nothing to lose by it, I suppose.
Welcome to Potsdam, Sir Charles.
It is a great pleasure for me to meet your Royal Highness.
I am sorry I cannot make you more comfortable. You must forgive our military ways.
I was a soldier myself, sir.
I will shut the window. We may as well have quiet.
You have some severe drill masters?
Those men are not being drilled.
They are being flogged.
Dear me.
Your talks with the king are prospering?
No, sir, I cannot say that.
Then I am lost.
Your marriage...
More than that.
Sir, your position cannot be destroyed. You will be free.
Listen, you do not know what it is like for me. The king distrusts me as his heir. He is planning things against me. Terrible things. Do you realize why he will not let me marry your princess? He wishes to keep me here, ground into the earth, so that he has the power to drive me mad.
Sir, I cannot think
that
true. That is...
And even if he were to let me marry Princess Amelia, do you think that I could risk that she too should be exposed to such treatment? No. I have thought about it. I will not bring that upon her. I have too much esteem for her.
That is a most honorable declaration. Her Royal Highness will be deeply touched. But really,
and
sir,
and let us not put anything in the way of my sister's happiness. If my father will still consent, let her be joined to a Prince of Wales.
I will do all that I can for them, sir. They have exchanged most devoted letters.
I am promised to Princess Amelia. Tell my uncle, the king, that I will keep my promise, come what may. But I think the time is far off.
Your Royal Highness does himself great credit.
Oh, it is easy to think of others when one's own life has lost its purpose. All I want for myself now is peace. Somewhere far away.
Fireworks to lighten our evening.
Oh, cat, come away from the window. So the queen has another prince. I do not lack for brothers. I am dispensable, cat. Fritz is not needed in his country.
Don't say that.
Doris, you are weeping.
We need you. Lots of people do. You will be a great and famous king. And we shall have music and laughter and peace. You said so.
How long ago that seems. Doris, come and sit by me.
My prince?
Let me hold you. I am cold. Oh, dear girl. Cat, you must take care of her while I'm at Radovitz.
A pleasure.
Though I wish you were coming with us.
I have a feeling I am not wanted by the court.
You won't miss anything. A whole month of guns banging off and cavalry dashing round in circles. Oh, pity me, Doris.
It sounds rather fun.
Don't be silly. Anyway, there should be enough nonsense to keep my father occupied. And a few thousand tenths to choose from if I want to play my flute. Doris, shall we play?
Yes.
Found you, you little swine. Come on. Come on.
Oh, please. Oh, my ear. Please.
You see, gentlemen, you see what I have found? This is my son who doesn't like camp, who doesn't like our company. Well, now I'll teach him some manners.
No, oh, how? Oh, please. Father. No. No. Oh.
Had I been treated so by my father, I would have blown my brains out. But this fellow has no honor. No. He takes all that comes.
I am finished, Dickens. I am disgraced.
You are abused, sir. Not disgraced.
Yes. In front of all those nobles from every country.
Your Highness, I am leaving the camp directly for London with dispatches from Sir Charles Hootham. I will report this outrage to His Majesty King George.
I will follow you. I am finished with my father. I will follow.
Please, I beg you, do nothing until I return. Here you are being watched most carefully. Flight now really would be suicide.
There is always that escape, too.
God protect you.
God, Dickens.
And where is he?
Are the government's reactions as bad as that?
They would cut Prussia's demands in half.
Dickens, I hardly think that helps me. Oh, I find this mission a great trial.
In my reckoning, it's down to Prince Frederick. We have a clear duty to him.
He is not Prussia.
He will be.
We cannot intervene. Our authority is less than ever.
Topple Grumkopf, sir. That will aid the prince and thwart Austria at one throw.
Ah, you're thinking of that letter again.
It has Grumkopf's signature. It cannot be argued.
We stole the thing. For His Britannic Majesty's ambassador to carry a stolen letter to the King of Prussia, of all people. Well, it's not to my taste.
But didn't you say Queen Caroline advised you to try bribing Grumkopf? Is that better?
Well, in any case, he wanted more than I had to offer, the rascal. Do you think the letter's strong enough to break Grumkopf's back?
If the king will only read it.
Well, he must. If I show it to him, must he not?
Well, thank you, Sir Charles.
Excellencies, you go to and from England, but you bring me answers that are no answers.
Your Majesty, Captain Dickens and I...
I tell you the issues are simple. The territorial guarantees, my daughter's dowry, the recruiting pact, so on. We are friends. What is the problem?
Your Majesty, we believe that our country's point of view is being misrepresented, has been for some time.
How so?
The letter, Captain Dickens, if you please.
Well, what is this?
It is the means whereby Your Majesty's intelligence from my country is doctored. You will see that it is written in the hand of the Baron von Krumkopf.
Sirs, I have had enough of these things. Enough interference from you Englishmen in my state affairs.
Captain Dickens.
Sir?
I leave Berlin.
Sir Charles?
No one shuts a door in the face of a British ambassador. No one. Come!
Where is His Excellency? I must see him immediately.
I am sorry, General Bourke. Sir Charles is writing his report and won't be disturbed.
Captain Dickens, he has written to the King demanding horses for his return to England.
I know, General, and also for a courier to report the King's insult to our master.
You know the King. He meant no insult.
I fear you would find it difficult to convince His Excellency of that.
The King is not well. He has pains in his vitals and in his head.
Nevertheless, it was a public rebuke to the British envoy. Turning his back on him, marching out and slamming the door before the whole court.
The King wishes me to say that he is deeply sorry. He begs Sir Charles to remain in Berlin.
I am sorry too. But where British pride is concerned, Sir Charles is as stiff as a ramrod.
Be sure to give Sir Charles the King's message. At least he will delay.
I am sorry, but I think not.
We are followed, sir.
Ho? Pull up there. Yes?
Sir Charles Hootham?
Yes?
Captain Lieutenant von Kat, sir.
Kat? Yes, I've heard of you.
I am sent by Prince Frederick, sir. His Royal Highness implores Your Excellency to return to Berlin.
Not possible.
My prince believes his life hangs upon it.
I am sorry. See Captain Dickens at the embassy. Coachman, drive on.
Oh, my God.
I am sorry, Hans. There was nothing I could do.
The prince must see you.
I am left with much work. Can he come to Berlin?
No, I should not be here myself.
If I go to Potsdam, there will be talk.
Tonight, Guy, he will meet you by the east gate of the Potsdam Palace.
Very well.
He is coming.
Let us show ourselves.
Your Royal Highness.
Dickens.
Sir.
What is happening in Berlin?
Well, the Queen is much distraught.
And my sister?
Calm. But I fear there will be no English marriage.
I have waited. I have been very patient, but everything has collapsed. The diplomats have bungled.
That is unfair, sir. The King...
I am sorry, but now I have no choice.
Meaning?
Sir, Captain Dickens must not be drawn into it.
Sir, I have a message from King George which Sir Charles had no time to deliver.
Yes.
His Majesty offers to pay your debts, sir, if you promise to stay at your post.
Excellent. 15,000 thalers. Tell him I will not escape from Potsdam.
Thank you, sir. I will.
You have been a good friend. Think well of me.
Indeed I shall, sir. Always.
Farewell.
Farewell, Your Highness.
15,000?
Well, I do owe 7, and I shall need the money later.
Should you have promised not to leave?
I promise not to escape from Potsdam. I shall be with the king as far as the Rhine, shall I not?
I see.
Your prince is learning guile. Remember it.
I tell you, Grumkopf, I should be glad to get away from these English troubles and tricks.
Your Majesty is most welcome in all the German dominions.
We have much travelling. Zeckendorf, you will join my coach and keep me amused on the road.
Very well, John.
I wonder, sir, if it is really wise for His Royal Highness to accompany you so far from home.
Don't think I haven't thought of that. But I want him under my eye, not plotting treason in Potsdam.
I understand that Captain Lieutenant von Kutt has applied for furlough.
Colonel Rokoff!
Sir?
Lieutenant Kutt has applied for leave. It is refused. He is not to move a step outside the Berlin command. See to it.
Yes, sir.
And, Rokoff, you will travel with General Budenbrock, Colonel Woldau, and the Prince. You will answer for the Prince's security.
Yes, Your Majesty.
With your life, Colonel Rokoff.
Now, look at the map.
There is Erlangen.
Uh-huh.
My cousin, the Rittmeister, is at Erlangen on a recruiting mission.
Will he help us?
If I could speak to him.
Now, here, Cannstatt. You must come in disguise, of course, at night.
And then over these hills and through to the forest.
Down to Strasbourg and freedom.
If we fail to meet at Cannstatt.
We cannot fail.
But we must think of every contingency.
All right, then. Now, I will go to the Schloss at Ansbach. The Margrave will help me. You will join me there.
Yes.
And don't forget to bring the money. It has taken me a year to save those 1,000 ducats. Oh, Lord, I will be glad to leave Potsdam.
You will say goodbye to Doris Ritter.
Yes, yes. She was the only thing here of any merit, and her father.
What about the desk? Your writing case?
Oh, good heavens, yes. There are letters in there from every friend I have in Europe. Burn it, Cat. No, lock it up and bring it. But guard it with your life.
I will.
Now listen. If you want to get in touch with me before you come to Cannstatt, send a messenger on a decent horse. The coaches will be slow, but my father is always in a hurry to be off each morning.
Won't a letter be rather dangerous?
Yes, of course. You must address it to Peter von Keith's brother, the page. He is in my father's suite.
Peter's still in Cleves?
In Wesel, yes. We may have need of him later.
And the page? He is reliable?
He is young, but I think we can trust him.
I hope so.
Yes, my dear fellow. You are the only one I can really trust. I have opened my heart to you. You will never let me down.
God bless you, my prince.
When I see you again, it will be on the road to freedom.
Yes. Yes, of course.
Au revoir, then.
Take good care.
My word. Your Royal Highness carries some fine maps.
What of it, sir?
You have not traveled this route before?
I am a student of geography.
Many other things, I believe.
Mm. Shall we talk of Roman poets and French philosophy? Oh, would you gentlemen care for some flute music?
No, thank you, sir.
No, thank you.
You prefer to mind your own business.
Oh, no. My God.
Hans, what is it?
My application for leave. It's been cancelled. I must find a courier. Quickly! Now listen, man. If you cannot find the king's train at Bamberg, go to Erlangen and seek out my cousin, the Rittmeister. He will direct you. Then hand this letter to the page, Keith, and no one else. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Go on, then!
Waldau, I've had a note from the Rittmeister von Kapp down the road. He's just directed a messenger to us all the way from Berlin for one of the pages. It's very odd, Waldau. I think we ought to keep our eyes skinned.
Keith, this is disastrous. The lieutenant can't get leave.
Oh, sir, I am sorry.
Listen,
When we get to Augsburg tomorrow evening, you must find another messenger.
Yes, sir.
We must tell Kat, when he can get away, to make for The Hague. Mm-hmm. And your brother, too. He can get there easily from Wesel.
Yes, sir.
Then we can all meet up. Yes, we must all shift for ourselves.
Where are we? What's this village?
This would be... let me see. Steinfurt. Yes. Steinfurt.
It looks clean.
We could make Mannheim by nightfall.
No, when you find a good bivouac, grab it. Look at those good barns. Stop here!
Well, as your majesty wishes.
Come on, let's get out.
Take my hand, sir.
The prince and his entourage will sleep in that barn. We'll take this one. Come on, Zeckendorf, Dachau. We'll stretch our legs before supper.
Very good, sir.
Keith. Yes, sir?
I've been looking at the map. We'll never get nearer to France than this. Now listen. There's a town called Sinsheim down the road. You must go there tonight.
Mm, sir.
Find two good horses and get back before it's light. Understand?
Sir, I'm afraid of the king.
Don't be silly. Before he's awake, we'll be on the Rhine ferry.
Sir? Sir?
Yes? What is it?
Sir, you told me to watch the prince.
Well?
He's up and dressed in a civilian coat.
Keith, I thought you'd never come.
Sorry, sir.
Quickly, boy, let's mount.
Good morning, Your Royal Highness. Why the horses, Page?
They're mine, sir, and Page Kuntz's.
Back to the stables. His Majesty doesn't leave until 5.
Well, well, and what is all this?
Good morning, Your Excellency. How do you like His Highness's new coat?
Very fine, sir.
Thank you.
It's hardly time to leave yet, sir. I should get some more sleep if you can.
Is, my father awake?
Not yet, sir.
You little viper. Your brother was in it too, I suppose.
Oh, no, sir.
And where are you going with the prince?
I...
Tell me, or I'll have you flogged all the way to Frankfurt. Tell me!
To France. To France.
So... Rokoff,
sir.
We go on to Frankfurt and back by river as arranged. If my son is lost on the journey, I promise you execution. Understand? Where have you put the prince?
In a cabin on your yacht, sir, as you ordered.
I have a letter here from Rittmeister von Katt at Erlangen. You know who he is?
Yes, sir.
He received a message from my son, delivered to him in mistake for his cousin. It tells everything. Now, I have all the evidence. Take me to the prince, and you will see how a deserter is disciplined.
Where am I?
We have removed you to another boat. For your own safety.
We are still on the river?
Yes. We stop at Bonn.
Zeckendorf.
Royal Highness?
My escort. The officers were not to blame.
I know, sir.
And young Keith, you must ask the king's pardon for all of them. He will listen to you.
Of course, of course.
Thank you. Excellency,
rest now.
Yes. I am finished.
You must not say that, sir. We are all greatly distressed for you.
You are not a bad fellow. I'd like to have been your friend.
You'll do me much honor.
Zeckendorf.
Sir?
When we reach Bonn, I have a message to send. You will make it possible. A message to this.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Rokoff! Rokoff!
Your Majesty?
Lieutenant Keith has escaped from Wesel to Holland. Somebody warned him. Will the very army break its oath then?
Well, surely, sir.
Somebody got him a message. If Kat escapes from Berlin before we get back, I'll have your heads. All of you.
Hans Kat, what are you doing here?
Madam, your majesty, there is not much time.
I have brought you this. It must be hidden.
That's Fritz's writing case.
Will someone tell me what has been going on?
Mother, Fritz tried to escape to France.
Oh, no!
Your Majesty, these are his most precious papers, but they are evidence against him.
I will look after the case.
And this money. It is his.
Kat, what are you going to do?
I don't know.
You must get out of Berlin.
I must stay if I can help the prince.
Who can help him now?
How's the prince?
He's been better since we reached Wesel.
Better? The commandant told me the king tried to run the boy through with his sword. If the commandant hadn't stopped him...
I don't think the prince cares anymore. Anyway, I've got an armed sentry outside his door to keep him in and his father out.
Will he catch the officer Cat, do you think?
Cat? If he's still in Berlin by the time we get back, he's not only a knave, he's a fool.
To think of a queen and a princess of Prussia spending all night forging letters.
At least we can burn all these others now. There's nothing we've written can incriminate Fritz.
A new day.
Father will be back within hours.
Oh, child. I'm really frightened for you all.
At least we've done something to help poor Fritz.
Oh, I hope so.
Madam, your wretched son is finished at last. Oh. We have done with him.
You've had the barbarity to kill him.
Yes, I tell you.
No.
There is a writing case. Where is it? Come, give it to me. I warn you. I know all.
Oh, God, my son.
Your Majesty, do not fear. The prince is alive, and we will keep him so.
Is this what you were looking for, Father?
Yes, indeed. Give it to me. Now, get out of my way. Enough paper, I think, to hang your precious brother.
So, you haven't killed him yet?
I promise you, he hasn't long. He hasn't long, girl. But you slut, you have all your life to spend. Yes, in Spandau prison and your precious friend, Cat. Oh, I have him too, your lover.
Father, who accuses me of this?
Berlin is foul with your bastard children, you filthy wench.
Whoever told your Majesty such a thing has lied.
What?
Lied.
Never mind, Bork. I have Cat. And I will have his evidence to cut the heads off these treacherous brats of mine. We will see who is king in Prussia and who are his enemies.
Doris Ritter, citizeness of the town of Potsdam, you have been found guilty of consorting with enemies of the king and sentenced to public flogging, whereafter you will be confined at His Majesty's pleasure to hard labor at the hemp spinneries of Spandau. Beadle, do your duty.
Baron Grumkopf.
I trust your highness as well.
Who are these gentlemen?
A commission of investigation, sir. Into your crimes.
I have nothing to say to you.
Do not be unwise, sir. We have full powers.
I have no one to fear but the king.
Who commissions us?
I am dressed like a felon, starved and deprived of every decent thing. Must I suffer you as well?
Would you suffer the rack?
You would not dare.
The king desires your submission.
Then let him send someone else. You make the air here fouler, Grumkopf.
What have you done with Wilhelmina?
She's locked in her apartment on bread and water. You see, I am merciful.
You are mad, Frederick.
Am I? Woman, you can still eat well if you behave.
I am not hungry.
Then drink a toast to the downfall of England.
No.
Do it, woman.
To the downfall of England.
That's better. Things have gone much too far. What court can try and condemn a crown prince, an heir apparent, and a prince of the empire?
He is also a colonel in the Potsdam Guards, and desertion, even attempted desertion, is a capital offense.
Be careful. The Emperor will not tolerate an execution.
The Emperor will have to learn that Prussia conducts its own affairs.
He is your son. Your eldest son.
Oh, Fitchin, will you not protect me after all? My head. The demons are at me. Where can I fly when I am haunted like this? Except to you.
I am here. I will not leave you in the dark.
Everyone in England is appalled. Can no one move the king from this craziness?
The court-martial is convened at Köpenick. We shall have to see what it decides.
The prince and Cat are being tried together?
And Lieutenant Keith?
But he's in England.
In his absence. Just let him try to come back to Prussia.
He's young. The king won't live forever.
I'll say one thing for Fritz. He'll always be loyal to his friends.
If there's anything left of them. Or him. Did you hear what happened to that young Ritter girl?
Yes. Barbarous.
Your Majesty, I have the honor to announce to you the verdict of the court-martial.
Well?
It finds the Crown Prince Carl Frederick guilty. And Captain Lieutenant Hans Hermann von Katt and Lieutenant Peter Christoph Karl von Keith as accomplices guilty.
Sentences?
Keith to be hanged in effigy and the four quarters to be nailed up in the town of Basel. Katt, imprisonment for life.
Not good enough. The prince?
Death.
Guilty? No. No. Oh, Fritz, my Fritz. Where have they taken him?
To the fortress of Kustrin.
What is going to happen? You must tell me.
It is in the king's hands. And in the hands of God.
Rokoff.
Your Royal Highness.
I am as low as a man can be.
Sir, you must have courage.
Courage? I tell you, Colonel, I did not want to wake this morning. Have you seen the scaffold they are building outside?
Yes.
Oh, Rokoff, I am afraid.
It's not for you, sir.
You lie. They all lie. No one dares to tell me. I am condemned and left at the king's mercy. Oh, no. They have come for me. No.
Sir, by the king's order, they are to hold you up to the window.
What?
Come. Take the prince.
What is going on? Who are those soldiers? They have Cat. Cat! Oh, Christ, they are going... Oh, good Lord in heaven. Cat, forgive me. Forgive me.
Your Highness! Death is sweet for a prince I love so well.
It is good to see you, Captain Dickens. Come in.
I'm glad to find you comfortable, sir.
Yes, I have a proper room now. Flowers, books I bought in Kustrin.
You can go about.
Yes, freedom of the town, a few civilized things, even you.
I was so anxious for you. In England, there was great apprehension.
How very kind.
When things are better, we must look forward to a visit from your Royal Highness.
Something tells me I shall never visit England.
I hope that is not true.
There is much to be done in Prussia. I have promised my father many things, to be dutiful, conscientious, economical. I do not think I shall make a fine monarch. Of course, there will be benefits. I shall have friends, one or two. But a king's best friend, of course, is his army. Then one must have self-discipline, an educated mind, and cunning. Cunning above all. That is how to survive, is it not? And I have survived. But emotions... Love? No, not love. One learns, and I have learnt. Well, what do you think?
Will I not make a fine king?
I hope a great one, sir.
Is it not passing brave to be a king and ride in triumph through Persepolis? And when you go back to England, what will you remember of me?
That you were true to your friends and they to you.
Yes. Well, and what else?
Oh, French fashions and philosophy.
That will not change. I shall always be a lover of France.
And your music.
I cannot be a conquering king with only a flute. My sister plays the lute, you know. She is going to marry the Prince of Bayreuth. It is a pity we shall be separated so soon. Flute and lute. Oh, would you care for some wine?
No, thank you, sir.
It's very good. Barsac. Cat left it to me.
I'm afraid...
You have to go? Ah, well.
Goodbye, Your Royal Highness. Good luck.
Luck? Yes, that is something I may need.
National Service of the BBC. Here is the news. At a ceremony in Potsdam today, inaugurating the first session of the new Reichstag, the German President, Field Marshal Hindenburg, laid a gold wreath on the tomb of Frederick the Great, who lies beside his father, King Frederick William I. In a speech, President Hindenburg recalled the old God-fearing Prussia, which by conscientious work, unfailing courage, and devotion to the fatherland became great, and on these foundations brought unity to the German family. May the spirit of this historic place, he said, also inspire the generation of today. Present at the ceremony was the new German Chancellor, Herr Adolf Hitler.
That was The Flute and the Sword by John Ash. The King was played by Robert Lang and the Crown Prince by Michael Cochrane, and not as printed in the Radio Times. Princess Wilhelmina by Kieran Madden and the Queen by Pauline Letts. Major General Grumkopf was played by Kerry Francis, Graf von Seckendorf by Norman Shelley, General Bork by Lockwood West, Brigadier de Bourget by Malcolm Hayes, Sir Charles Hootham by Richard Herndl, Captain Guy Dickens by Jack Carr, Lieutenant Cat by Ian Cullen, Doris Ritter by Elspeth Charlton, and Paige Keith by Michael Deacon. Other parts were played by David Sinclair, David Erickson, John Bull, and members of the cast. The play was produced by Christopher Venning. Lockwood West is currently appearing in Billy at the Theatre Royal, Drury Lane.
To commemorate the 300th anniversary of the death of John Milton, we're presenting tomorrow a dramatization by Gordon Honeycomb of his epic poem, Paradise Lost. Milton recreates the whole story of Satan's fall from heaven and the creation of Paradise and Adam and Eve, of Satan's journey to the Garden of Eden and his successful seduction of Eve. Milton is keenly aware of the suffering in the world, which he directly attributes to Adam and Eve's transgression. And this dramatization concludes with a brilliant analysis of human nature and human weakness, which is told by the Archangel Michael to Adam and Eve just before they're finally forced to leave paradise. Tomorrow's production has a strong cast, including Stephen Murray, Robert Harris, Robert Lang, Ronald Pickup, Hannah Gordon, Martin Jarvis, and Morris Denham. The music has been specially created by David Kane and is performed by the choir of Wyndham School, Egremont. So that's Milton's Paradise Lost, dramatized by Gordon Honeycomb, tomorrow afternoon on Radio 4 at 2:30, our afternoon theatre production. And now here is the weather forecast for tomorrow. It will be windy, and in some western and northern districts exposed to westerly winds, there will be gales. The west and north will also have frequent showers, sometimes heavy, and falling as snow on the higher hills from Wales northwards. Eastern and southern areas will have a few showers, but there will also be sunny intervals. It will be colder than today in all parts. And the outlook for Monday and Tuesday, bright or sunny intervals at first, with showers, but more general rain will soon spread to most areas. Temperatures will be near or a little below normal. And that's the end of the weather forecast. After Big Ben, the news read by Sheila Tracy.
BBC Radio News at 10 o'clock. In Northern Ireland, gunmen killed two men in the presence of the four-year-old daughter of one of them. Earlier, two well-known Protestants had been shot and wounded. Lord Hailsham, like Mr. Heath, says the Conservatives could be back in power sooner than they think. Jordan has moved further towards a Palestinian takeover of the West Bank. The French horse Admetus won the Washington International. And in today's football at home, Manchester City have gone to the top of the First Division. We begin with the murders in Northern Ireland. Two Catholics were shot dead at a vehicle workshop at Aldergrove near Belfast, soon after two prominent members of the Loyalist movement had been injured in another shooting. From Belfast, Geoffrey Wareham.
A four-year-old girl was sitting in a car at the workshop when two hooded men walked in and shot her father and another man in the head. The terrified child was still in the car when the police arrived. They discovered that shots had also been fired at the car, and it was hit by at least one bullet. The gunmen were armed with a revolver and an automatic weapon. Later, the Protestant Action Force claimed responsibility for the killings. They'd also admitted killing an 18-year-old Catholic seaman who was found shot in the head in a derelict bakery during the night. The workshop murders were carried out little more than an hour after two prominent Loyalist leaders were shot and injured in a do-it-yourself store opposite Crumlin Road Prison in Belfast. Mr. Jim Anderson, former chairman of the paramilitary Ulster Defence Association, and Mr. Billy Howell, chairman of the Loyalist Association of Workers, were talking in a room at the back when a revolver appeared round the door. Four or five shots were fired, both men were hit in the legs, and Mr. Howell was also wounded in the stomach. Their injuries are not thought to be serious. In the recent past, they were two of the most powerful Loyalist leaders in Northern Ireland. Mr. Anderson was leader of the UDA during its most militant period, and Mr. Hull's Workers' Association was the forerunner of the Ulster Workers' Council, whose strike last May brought down the Northern Ireland executive.
A call said to be from the young militants of the UDA claimed responsibility for the attack on Mr. Anderson and Mr. Hull. But police now say they are satisfied this call was a hoax. In the centre of Belfast tonight, three shops were set on fire, apparently by incendiary devices. The shops are inside the area known as the Cage, where pedestrians have to go through turnstiles and be searched by the army before they can do their shopping. A senior figure in the Conservative Party, Lord Hailsham, has said that within a matter of weeks or months, the government could become a left-wing dictatorship, or collapse altogether. Like Mr. Heath last night, he said the call for the Conservatives to take over could come sooner than they thought. Lord Hailsham told a meeting in London of the party's regional chairman and other senior representatives that Conservatives should be prepared for any burdens. As for the leadership, he said they didn't want a sort of disc jockey selected for his patter or sex appeal. One of our Westminster staff, Christine Ead, asked Lord Hailsham about the leadership crisis.
I don't think there can be a leadership crisis until there's an alternative clearly defined. I don't think that there can be a crisis, because the one thing which is quite certain is that the party can't have no leader. And therefore it's no good saying we want to get rid of Mr. Heath or we want to have somebody else. You've got to say we want to have Mr. X or Mr. Y. And then there is, of course, a clear decision which can be decided by the constitutional machinery.
But do you think there should be a change in leader? Can you name some names whom you think might make good leaders of the party?
Well, I could name lots of names, but I'm not going to, if that's what you mean.
But when you spoke of a leader needing bags of courage and total dedication, who were you referring to? Was this a description of Mr. Heath?
This was a description of the ideal leader, but it's for the public to say whether they think Mr. Heath is a courageous man. I personally do.